Being a mom of four and doing this podcast, I am just constantly in a state of exhaustion. I depend on caffeine to get me through my day, but I am also a little bit of a coffee snob. My go-to coffee is Black Rifle Coffee Company, which is actually a veteran-founded and run company. It's a quality coffee that tastes like I actually had the time to go to a local coffee shop and get a fresh cup. Black Rifle offers a variety of roasts and flavors that fits anyone's preferred taste. They sell coffee in a can, pods for a Keurig, bags of coffee beans, and ground coffee. Personally, I make my coffee using a Keurig because I'm always on the go. Black Rifle offers a variety of pods for the Keurig, which tastes delicious, and it gives me the energy boost that I need. My absolute favorite Black Rifle coffee is their Beyond Black Coffee Rounds. It's a dark roast, and it's absolutely delicious. They also offer a hazelnut-flavored coffee that I'm super stoked to try soon. Black Rifle offers subscriptions, bundles so you can try a variety roast at a great price, or you can order it individually. I love that I don't have to leave my house to get a quality cup of coffee. Whether you are a hardcore coffee lover or just starting to explore the world of coffee, Black Rifle has it all. If you would like to try this yummy coffee, visit sinisterjunkmailpodcast.com/blackriflecoffee. Again, visit sinisterjunkmailpodcast.com/blackriflecoffee. Welcome to Sinister Junk Mail Podcast. This is Susie Turner.
And Kate loves A.
Sorry.
I don't know why. You said it totally fine, but I still was like, this is an opportunity to be a dick. I'm going to run with it. Merry last week Christmas, everybody.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh my God. I love that so many people were so offended by our holiday greeting card.
Oh my God. So first of all, if you personally know us, we don't take anything fucking seriously. No. So the fact that people are taking it so seriously, well, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I said so many, but really it was only two, but still. And like a few people I think liked it, but whatever.
Whatever. Okay.
If you didn't see our holiday card on Instagram, it was silly.
It was, we put the ho in ho, ho, ho.
No, it was, we put the ho in holiday.
Oh, fuck, that's right.
Yeah, but we were being the funny. Ho, like, ho. We took funny pictures. It was, like, silly. We were not like, oh, yeah, let's go make out now. But apparently, you know, old people can't take a joke. And I guess we need to start an OnlyFans now.
I know. Maybe we should. Just my feet.
Yeah, just your feet.
Well, I've clicked on one of the profiles that, like, was hating on us. And it was, like, a history buff, which I love history. Mm. But all he did was post coins. And I was great. Like, okay. Incel. Shut the fuck up.
Incel alert. Not that there's any problem with coins. I actually love coins. My grandpa used to collect them, but I do have a problem with coin collectors who hate on women for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, I hope you guys had a wonderful Christmas.
Yeah.
And I guess
New Year's.
Almost New Year's.
Coming a few days.
Do you do anything for New Year?
New Year's. Sit on my couch and fall asleep by 10:30.
Oh my God, me too. Yeah, and then my husband like bumps me.
Yeah.
Not humps. Bumps me. And he's like, okay, the countdown's starting in like a minute.
Oh God,
and then
that's so funny.
Like groggily. I'm like, wah, groggily. Oh. That's not even a word.
Yeah. Groggily. No, I think that's fine. That's great.
And I'm like, and then I pretend, and then I get my glass of champagne. I'm like, I'm so sleepy.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah. No, I'm like, don't come wake me up. And actually me and my husband both are like, all right, see you in the morning. Nobody gives a shit about this. It's just another day. With the kids though, it's different. You know, they're excited. They want to stay up. So we do when they want to, now that they're older. Okay. So what are we talking about today?
The Cecil Hotel.
The Cecil Hotel.
Did it sound like Transylvania? Is that
is that what you were doing? Wait, hold on. Is that what you're going for?
The Cecil Hotel.
Is it Transylvanian?
I don't know.
Why are we doing the accent? What's the lore behind the accent? Nothing? You're just in a mood?
No. Okay. In 1804.
Okay.
There is
Count Chocula.
Count Chocula stayed here. Count Chocula. I fucking love that cereal. No, I like Booberry.
I haven't had that one. Is it good?
It's fucking delicious.
I'll have to have some.
Yeah. So Count Chocula stayed here.
Okay.
Made it a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all, guys.
Yeah.
That's it. Anyway, now that she's done ruining my segment.
I'm so sorry. That was so annoying of me.
All right. Well, the Cecil Hotel, some of you might be familiar with it.
Yeah.
It's a fucked hotel. That's it. It's just fucked. It's literally just a hotel with just death surrounding it and in it. It's not surrounding. It's just saturated.
Where's it at?
Los Angeles.
I was going to ask, is it the one that hotel season of American yes. Horror Story is based off of?
Yes. Oh,
okay. Okay.
And it's because of what we're about to dig into.
I can't wait.
There's suicides, there's murder, yep. and there's serial killers and ghosts.
I can't wait.
So the Cecil Hotel has been the site of many tragedies, to include suicides. I just said this.
That was hilarious.
I surprised myself with how dumb yeah. I... All right. So, fun fact. Mm-hmm. Two. Yes, I said two.
Two whole
serial killers lived at the mm-hmm. Cecil Hotel for a bit, which is fucking crazy.
At like different times? Was there overlap yes. or anything?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But it's weird because when you think about like, I forgot the stat, but it's mm-hmm. like, you're not supposed, like the amount of serial killers versus normal people.
Like per capita.
Yeah. It's not that bad. Mm-hmm. So to find like it's like two, it's very concentrated. Yeah.
There was a point in time though where California, I feel like, was overrun with them.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of serial killers
in general.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the Cecil Hotel actually inspired the fifth story of American. The fifth story. I'm done.
Season.
What is wrong with me?
You're fine.
The fifth season mm-hmm. of American Horror Story.
Yep.
So this hotel has just a really bad reputation, obviously.
Yeah.
But it didn't start this way. It actually was supposed to be classy as fuck.
Well, of course it was.
Yeah.
Is it still open?
We'll get to that. Sorry. Catherine Jesus Christ.
Here I go.
Here she goes. So the hotel opened on December 20th in 1924 in downtown LA.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was built by Robert Schrops.
Mm.
Charles Dix.
Oh, there's more.
And William Banks Hanner.
Those are some very unfortunate names.
It is, right? Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd want my last name to be Dix.
Yeah.
And I say that, well, because like, okay.
Susie Dix.
Or like in the military, just be like, hey, Dix, come yeah. here. I just need Dix to come help me real quick.
It's okay. You would loved that. You would have been so happy yeah. if that was you.
Anywho. Yeah. So they invested about $2.5 million into this project.
Wow, that was a lot back then.
It was.
Yeah.
And technically, because I did the research, it was $14 million like in today's money.
Oh, wow. That is a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
For a dog go downhill.
I mean, to be fair, I don't really know what a normal investment amount is for a hotel, but I feel like back then that would have been a lot.
So they average nowadays yeah. around $20
million. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And but that was like for LA too.
I'm lying. I don't fucking know.
Oh my God. Oh, God, you got me. You should be proud. It's rare now. It's rare these days. Yeah.
I have to be faster. I have to be more of a dick.
That's right.
So the hotel was actually beautifully built. Like if you look at like, I guess even if you look at pictures now, it's mm-hmm. pretty. You can take it in. Sorry. Take it in after dicks. I can't. I fucking can't.
This is it.
But I think like knowing the history and mm-hmm. it takes away from the beauty. And now it's like fucking like there has to be blood pretty much on every step of the way.
It's a hotel. It's probably crawling in nasty bodily fluids.
Yeah. So the hotel, like I said, was beautiful. They had stained window panels, marble throughout the lobby and potted palms around the hotel, which obviously fucking represents class.
Very classy.
So the hotel was 14 stories tall and had 700 rooms available.
That's a lot.
It's a fuck ton. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you think about it, if they thought they were going to be successful, that should be a good turnover and they should be able to get their $2.5 million back
right.
pretty quickly. Yeah. However, they got fucked.
I'm sure they did.
Yeah. So originally the hotel was built for traveling businessmen.
Mm.
It was just for like a night or two.
Not a woman steps foot in here.
No. So you stay home and take care of the fucking kids. So the hotel was upstaged by nicer hotels.
Shocking.
Yeah. A few years after the hotel opened, the Great Depression hit.
Yeah.
And obviously that was a nightmare for businesses, hotels, people, everyone. Yeah. So the hotel did become a popular destination in 1940.
Okay.
And so then
got a little reboot.
Like just a little bit.
Mini one.
It wasn't very long. So from there, like it peaked in the 1940s and then it just declined. So like, the nearby area of the hotel is called Skid Row.
Oh, great.
And so essentially,
we didn't stand a chance.
No.
No.
So it like hit its peak in 1940 and then shit just got bad.
Yeah.
So Skid Row, for people that don't know, which I'm not trying to mansplain over here, but just in case.
I mean, I think a lot of people who have not been to the West Coast or watched the Kardashians their whole lives don't know what that is. Do you remember in one of the episodes, they drove their like expensive cars through Skid Row to be like, this is so sad. Like, we're so rich and this is so sad.
No, they did not.
It was one of the grossest fucking things I've ever seen.
No.
Honestly. Yeah. Like, why would you even bother doing this?
It shows so much humility.
Yeah.
Just keep driving your fucking $300,000 cars to people that can't afford food.
Like, these people don't fucking care that you're, they don't want to see you driving. They don't need you to put them on national television.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was terrible. Anyway, sorry. Okay. That's all what it makes me think of.
Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah. It was.
Fucking assholes. All right. Yep. Well, so Skid Row is where a large population of homeless people live.
Mm-hmm.
So it's estimated, and it's hard. The number is between 9,000 to 15,000, and it's hard to get, like, obviously an accurate number because people are constantly coming and going. But Skid Row...
That's a lot, though. Jeez.
It's a fuck ton, and Skid Row did start up in the 1930s, but which was pretty soon after the hotel opened its doors.
Right.
So it, like, really only had a few years of, like, not having that, and then I'm sure Skid Row probably, like, started small and then fucking escalated, right?
Right, of course.
So now Skid Row covers 50 city blocks in LA.
That's so much.
It's so fucking much.
Yeah.
So the hotel originally was meant for single room occupancy.
Occupancy.
You know what? I'm not going to say that word because it's not coming out right now. So the hotel originally was meant for single room
occupancy.
Stayers.
Yeah.
So, but it turned into a place where long-term tenants ended up renting their own rooms and they shared a bathroom.
Yeah.
With other tenants.
So it turned into like a little...
They had this idea that it was going to be like rich businessmen. And then for the fact that now like they're starting to be like share a bathroom. It's because their clientele they thought was going to be like up here. No one can see my hand. Up here?
Yeah.
But it they realized, okay, well... Those people are not staying at our hotel. So now we do have to kind of like go lower on prices and find someone or like meet lower
the rate or whatever, the room rate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because with all of the options available to businessmen, to traveling businessmen in Los Angeles, why would they stay there when they don't have to and they walk outside and they're on Skid Row, basically?
Right.
That's not going to be their top choice.
No. And eventually the hotel would allow multiple tenants in just one room.
Okay, so at first they would only let one person stay there and then they would just like pile them in the future or what?
Yeah, like it started with like everyone has their own bathroom and room.
Right.
And then it was like, all right, we'll share bathrooms and you guys, it'll just be one person per room.
Yeah.
And then I think it got to the point where they were like, all right, we're just going to like let people like share a room and a bathroom. So new owners took over and in 2008, they refurbished a portion of the Cecil Hotel.
Okay.
And
that's like a huge gap or a leap in time.
Right.
Yeah.
And in 2011, they tried to rebrand the hotel.
Of course they did.
And they referred to the Cecil Hotel as Stay on Main.
Okay.
It's like when someone really fucks up in a town and they move and they're like, I'm just going to change my name.
Yeah, exactly.
No one will ever know. Except if you're a hotel and your address didn't change.
Yeah, you're in the same exact spot.
Yeah.
And you've been here for almost a century.
Yeah.
Or more than a century, I guess.
No one is buying your bullshit.
Yeah. No, they're not.
So in 2014, Richard Bourne decided to buy the hotel for $30 million.
Jeez.
Which, like, kind of think it's stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Why do rich people who have way too much money that they don't even know what to do with, like, this is what they do with it.
Right.
Now we know.
And then they're like, oh man, it's not working. It all went to shit.
Like, did they actually think they were going to, like, make money off that?
I think so. Well, and then another, like, Simon Baron Development purchased a 99-year ground lease on that property.
Okay.
So clearly, they saw people potential.
They keep thinking they're going to be able to be the ones to make it work.
But sometimes it's like, just no.
Yeah.
just
knock it out. Just knock it over.
Yeah. So in 2016, they closed the hotel down to preserve the historical and architectural aspects of the hotel.
Oh, great. That's great. Let's just close it down and have all these fucking homeless people have nowhere to live in this huge empty building and just like preserve it.
Yes.
Great.
And they wanted to give the Cecil Hotel a facelift. Okay. And then COVID hit and then it suspended the renovation.
They can't catch a break, can they?
No. So the Cisa Hotel finally opened up December 13th, 2021. And this time it was open as an affordable housing complex, which now it's making more sense.
That's better. Yeah. Yes.
And it was operated by the Skid Row Housing Trust. So now I'm like, all right, I can get behind this.
Let's make this work.
Yeah.
That's a much better plan.
Right. And it's supposed to provide a place for 600 low income residents, which is awesome.
Yeah. I love that idea.
Yeah. Which honestly, after the history that we're about to dive into, this is a happy thing.
Yeah.
Finally. Yeah. Fucking finally. Because this shit is real fucked. So there are some infamous stories that directly involve the Cecil Hotel.
Right.
So most people probably recognize the name Cecil Hotel from the Netflix docuseries on Elisa Lam.
Mm-hmm.
So the docuseries was titled Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah.
The media fixated on this one missing woman quite a bit, actually. And I think it was mostly because the video surveillance that went with it, it was just weird.
Yeah.
And it made a lot of people like really dive into it and almost become like...
It was like a mystery.
It was. Mm-hmm. And I think it made it seem like maybe there is like something paranormal or just really wacky. And I think
because they were like, she never left.
Yeah. And she's clearly talking to someone.
Right.
But I'm ruining my own. Fuck. I'm Catherine-ing it.
Sorry. It was good, though. It was weird.
It was weird.
If you haven't seen that, that footage.
Yeah.
You should look it up because it was very strange.
It was super strange. Mm-hmm. But I think we have the reason for it.
Tell us.
Well, not yet.
Oh, in a few minutes, tell us.
So her body was actually found on February 19th, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
She was 21. She was a student from Canada and had come down to visit and stayed at the Cecil Hotel.
Right.
She had a blog where she posted a lot about her mental illness and like the struggle with it.
Yeah.
And she also had like fashion tips and just updates about her life.
Fashion tips.
Did I say that weird?
No, I'm just laughing about that. It was like, it's depression and fashion tips. It's just funny.
I mean,
it is funny.
It's every female in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, sounds about right.
In January 2012, she had stated on her blog that she had a relapse of her mental illness.
Okay.
And that she actually had to drop some of her college classes.
Right.
So she stated that she felt, and these are quotes from her blog, so utterly directionless and lost.
Oh.
It's so sad.
It is sad.
Elisa had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and depression, which is a lot.
Yeah.
She had never attempted suicide and claimed that she had never had suicidal thoughts.
Right.
Which is important once we get to the mystery of it all. She had been hospitalized for hallucinations after not taking her medication for a while. Like some of the hallucinations had her like hiding under her bed.
Jeez.
From whatever she was seeing.
Yikes. Was this happening only in the hotel?
No. This was like at her home in Canada. And so this is just a little background because I think it makes more sense when like the actual Cecil Hotel pops up.
Yeah.
So she decided to take a trip to California.
Fine.
I love California.
Yeah. I don't. California sucks.
Really?
It used to be great. It's not great anymore.
Oh, I mean, I haven't been. I lived there almost a decade ago.
Yeah.
So she decided to visit the San Diego Zoo, and she'd actually been frequently posting pictures of her trip on social media. Mm. And on January 26th, she then traveled to Los Angeles.
Okay.
After 2 days of being in LA, she checked into the Cecil Hotel.
Why?
I don't know. Oh. And that's like, part of it is like,
because this was before it was like low income housing. It was still hotel.
But it like was still creepy. Like drawing like really crazy.
The low vibrational energy people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So originally the staff had assigned her to a room on the fifth floor where she shared the room with other people.
Okay.
But after only 2 days, Elisa was moved out of the room and put by herself because they were complaining. Like the roommates had complained to the staff that she was exhibiting strange behavior.
So weird. Is this like, so it's almost like a hostel type place.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Right.
Which also have you seen those movies?
I've only seen the first one. I would not see the others. I like horror movies, but I don't like, what is it called? What do they call it? Torture porn.
Okay, I really like those movies.
Oh man, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like all of the Saws, I've watched all of them.
Those aren't that bad though. I feel like Hostel is like on another level.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
And it also made me terrified to ever stay in anything but a hotel in a big city.
Yeah. Like I don't mind gore, but it's the like torture part that I'm like, I don't know.
Maybe I'm just like fucked.
Yeah.
Fucked in the head. Here we go. So the roommates were saying that she was leaving notes around the room. Then the notes were saying, just go home, go away.
Weird.
Right. And then
was she just like annoyed at the people?
I don't think so, because then she would lock the door of the hotel room. And then when the roommates would be like, bitch, let me in, then she wouldn't open it unless they had the password.
What the fuck?
What the fuck's the password?
She's definitely got something going on.
So Elisa attended a taping of Conan a few days before her disappearance, but was escorted off the property because her behavior was considered disruptive. So I think she was starting to like bubble over.
Yeah, right? It was like escalating.
Yeah. So on January 31st, 2013, Elisa was supposed to check out of the hotel and head to Santa Cruz.
Okay.
But that's when she disappeared and her parents couldn't get a hold of her.
Ugh.
So the mystery begins now. Elisa Lamb had been reported missing 3 weeks before her body was actually found.
Oh, man.
In a water tank on the rooftop of the hotel.
Ugh.
But her body was discovered by a maintenance worker.
Right.
So the maintenance worker investigated the water tank because guests... Oh, God.
Yeah, I remember this from the fucking documentary.
Yes. So guests had started complaining about low water pressure and a funny taste.
And I think it was like a little discolored, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're drinking body water.
You're essentially drinking decomposition.
Like person soup.
Person's
yeah.
And human crackers in my soup.
So nasty. I remember watching that documentary and seeing that part and going, oh, no. Like, they even started talking about just the water. And I didn't know that that's where she was yet. But I knew, like, because I knew, you know?
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, God, no.
No.
Like, I don't know how you go on after drinking body water, you know?
Like, every time, like, I have chills right now. And it's just so fucked. It's so gross.
It is so gross.
So right before her disappearance, there was video surveillance taken by the Cecil Hotel. Okay. And this is where, like, this is what you should look up online.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah. Like where that footage is of like they got the weird theories all came from and stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So she was caught like hiding in a corner of the elevator, pressing a bunch of buttons in the elevator and then waving her hands around. And she was talking to someone, but couldn't see anyone.
It was just, it looked like it was just her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is where like all the theories started.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them said it was paranormal activity. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like, even the documentary made it seem very paranormal.
That's where it was going. Yeah, that's what it made it look like it was heading in that direction.
Right. And then when you actually do the research, it's a...
not quite.
Not quite.
Yeah.
Some even thought that maybe she took ecstasy and was having like just some thoughts.
Yeah.
But toxicology...
push all the buttons. You know, enjoy the lights.
Yeah. This is so great.
Yeah.
So toxicology tests actually show that that theory was incorrect.
Right.
And she only had prescription medicine in her system, but not very much of it, which was actually the problem.
Okay.
So investigators interviewed Lamb's sister and she told police that her sister had been diagnosed with extreme bipolar.
Mm-hmm. Maybe hallucinations are part of that and I just don't realize. I don't know.
I've never really
heard that, but again, I'm not a doctor, so... Because when you hear that, you think like schizophrenia.
Yeah, right.
But I know that there probably are other mental health like illnesses that do have that hallucinations as a symptom. I just have never heard it being attached to bipolar, but that doesn't mean it's not.
Right.
It could be, you know.
And I didn't look enough into it to figure it out.
I'm going to Google it.
Oh, she's Googling. She's using the Googles.
With severe bipolar disorder, you may have hallucinations where you see or hear things that aren't there. Okay.
Interesting. So, I didn't know that.
According to our quick Google search, yes, severe bipolar can come with hallucinations, which is, I'm learning just right now for the first time.
Some might say that I enlighten your world.
You, Google, whatever.
Both.
Yeah.
So she had extreme bipolar, but her sister also told police that she had a history of not taking her bipolar medication.
Well, that'll do it.
Yes. And so they ruled her death just an accidental drowning. And investigators ruled that the surveillance of Elisa...
that was just her not on her meds.
Yeah.
It's that easy, guys.
It was just a paranoid hallucination.
Great.
So the investigation determined how Elisa died. However, it still left many confused.
Yeah, because who the fuck jumps into a water tank and doesn't have survival instincts kick in?
I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like you wouldn't just let yourself drown.
There, it's weird. All of it's weird. So, the doors and the stairs that access the rooftop were locked.
Mm.
The only people that can access the roof are certain staff members that have the keys and they have also a pass, like the passcodes on the doors.
Yeah.
If someone tries to open the door without a code or a key, an alarm goes off.
Right. So it would have to be like somebody who had access.
No. But.
Well, I mean, theoretically, right?
Sort of.
That's what they mean.
So that's what the documentary was like trying to like lead on.
So
however,
it couldn't have been anyone.
They found out that the only possible way that she could have gotten up there was the hotel's fire escape, which leads you right to the fucking rooftop.
Okay.
They don't know for sure, but it's honestly probably the only like plausible thing.
Yeah. So, especially because like they would probably be able to track the key code, all that stuff being used. Yeah.
I would hope.
Yeah.
This rundown fucking hotel.
Yeah. You never know.
No. But usually the water tank lids are closed and they're really heavy and like difficult to open and close.
No way would she be able to get in there and close the lid on herself.
Right. And then the hotel workers had to use like a ladder just to access the top of it, like to look in.
Right.
But the problem is the hotel maintenance guy, when he found her, the lid was already open.
Oh, weird.
So it makes me wonder if like, I don't know if she maybe opened it or did they fuck up?
And it was just already opened before she even got in.
Maybe.
Is there like a solid theory behind this? Do they, I mean, I know that they said it was like whatever accident or whatever. Does anyone suspect somebody pushed her into this?
No.
Okay. Because it's just so weird.
It's
maybe
weird.
Maybe she went in for a midnight swim and then just like fell asleep.
It's all really weird. But you also, if someone's having that bad of hallucinations, they're fighting someone.
Yeah, maybe she was like hiding in the, like trying to hide underwater or something and just like it got away from her. I don't know.
Well, and that could be too. Like if her previous thing was she was hiding under the bed because essentially she was hiding from something that she thought was going to hurt her or scared her enough.
Yeah.
If you think something's going to hurt you or scare you enough, you would be willing to stay underwater and then.
Right.
Like, I don't.
Like, what if she like physically wasn't able to get back out or something?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And you get like you're too tired from treading. That could also be it. I wonder. Yeah.
Cause I wonder how high the water level was up. Cause if you're in there and it's too, like you can't reach.
No.
Once you jump in, you're in. You know what I mean? There's no way to climb out.
And if it's been days, like a fuck ton of time of just.
Yeah.
Trying to float or tread.
Yeah. God, that's sad.
Yeah. So the autopsy report was found to be incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
So they administered a rape kit and a fingernail kit just to like make sure, but there weren't any results.
Okay.
And no one's really sure that it was even processed or done correctly.
Yeah. I'm sure it's hard when you have like a waterlogged body too.
Right.
Yeah.
Like they didn't find her body for weeks.
Yeah.
So honestly,
it would be really hard to tell anything at that point. Yeah, for sure.
The one weird thing was that they couldn't find her phone anywhere, which was super strange, especially with like how connected she was to like social media and her
blogging
blog
and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think she was like at least keeping in touch with her family, which is why they knew she went missing.
Right.
But yeah. So that's.
God, poor Lisa Lamb.
It's just really sad.
Yeah.
Fuck mental health. No. Fuck.
Fuck that is a thing people have to deal with.
Let me rephrase. Fuck mental illness, not mental health.
I didn't even notice. Fuck mental illness. You're right. Yeah.
It's sad.
It is sad. That's the human condition, though. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think that there are way more people who have mental health issues than not.
There is. And I think it's always been that way. But I think that
it's just becoming more and more like diagnosed now. People are like coming out of the shadows.
Well, think about
it's being accepted.
Yeah. Well, we grew up in the 90s and like. Yeah. I know it wasn't really okay to talk about my feelings in my house.
Right.
And I know like you look back then and like therapy wasn't okay.
No, it's not like what it is now. That's for sure.
And so I think now people are like, oh, like I think mental health might be even more important than physical health sometimes because if your mental health is fucked, like everything goes downhill.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, I'm done off my soapbox.
I agree. I've had this conversation with even my kids, like that is such an important thing to take care of, you know?
Yeah.
And like medication is not something that should ever be frowned upon. Like you don't hear people getting judged for taking like blood pressure medication their entire lives. Like, why is that any more important than your mental health? It's not, you know,
it's not.
Do what you need to do to be healthy. And like, if that means medication or therapy or whatever, fucking do it.
Do it.
You deserve to be happy and healthy as much as you can.
You only live once, bitches.
Well, that's not true, but you only live once that you remember, bitches.
So, on to the rest of the fucked up Cecil Hotel.
Great.
So what people like, that story was pretty publicized.
It like
in
put
the media.
Them on the map. Like, I mean, they've always had weird stuff, but that was like, it almost like reignited the talk about them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because what people are unaware of is how many deaths were actually linked to this hotel way long before her. Right. So we're going to go chronologically now through the years. We started with the most recent to hook you fuckers in. Yeah. And now we're
now you
going
have to
back.
Listen to the boring part.
No, yeah. So W.K. Norton checked into the Cecil Hotel and stayed about a week.
Okay.
He checked in under the name James Willis and he told the staff he was from Chicago.
Mm.
But he was actually from Manhattan Beach and he was found dead on November 19th, 1931.
Okay.
He had ingested capsules of poison and he died at the age of 46.
Jeez.
So
was it intentional?
Yes. Okay. They labeled it as a possible suicide.
Who has capsules of poison?
It was 1931.
Okay.
So everybody.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was just what you did.
I think that's
then.
When you like, you're like, oh, would you like a drink? And I sit you down and then you don't know if I put poison in it or not. And you're like, you sip first.
That's what they were doing back then.
Yeah. 100%.
For sure.
But if you think about it, like they opened up in not that long ago. And so like 1931 is like the kickoff to like their fucked future. Mm-hmm.
God.
Oh, and why I think it is a suicide as well. Is because he checked in under a different name than his normal name.
Like he was trying to hide from whoever might stop him or something.
Yeah. Or if people like called and was like, hey, do you know, like.
They wouldn't find him easily.
Right. And and he said he was from a completely
totally
different state.
Yeah.
Which tells me like he wanted to probably do it and then not be traced.
Right.
Like there's no
At
trace
least
of
not
him.
Not in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because on top of it, if he went missing. And his family's looking all over for him.
Right.
It's not like now where I'm like, I can track your cell phone and I can track your credit card.
Yeah.
So in September of 1932, Benjamin Dodick was found dead at the age of 25.
Oh, man.
So he had committed suicide with a self-inflicted gunshot wound right to the head.
Damn.
And a maid found his body, but they never found like a suicide note or anything.
Okay.
So super sad. Not a whole lot of details, but pretty fucked.
Mm-hmm.
On July 26th, 1934, Louis D. Borden was found dead at the age of 53. He had slashed his throat with a razor blade. And he was formerly a sergeant in the Army Medical Corps. And
very violent.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I
would rather just take some fucking poison.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He had left multiple suicide notes and he stated that his health had just been really bad and declined. And that was the reason why he took his life. Like, he just wanted to, like, escape the shit.
Not be in pain anymore.
And that's, like, heartbreaking.
It is sad, yeah.
But, like, that's, like, that is... I can't even imagine a razor blade. Oh, my God.
I couldn't do it. There's no way.
So, March of 1937, Grace Margot died at the age of 25. And this is... Investigators couldn't tell if it was suicide or her death was just from an accidental fall.
Oh.
Out of a window.
Okay.
So she fell.
Back then, they just didn't have fucking ways to prevent people from falling out of like tall buildings, windows, whatever.
I guess not. Like,
there's just so many tragic stories of that sort of stuff happening. Like Eric Clapton's toddler son or whatever that like fell out of a window and died. Like,
what?
You don't know about, that song like Tears in Heaven or whatever?
Oh my God.
You
yes.
Know my name.
Yeah.
It's about his toddler son. He was like, I want to say 3 or 4. He fell out of a like, I can't remember. It was at least 14th story, maybe higher window at that age, like as a toddler. And like Eric Clapton disappeared off the grid for like over a decade, I want to say.
Oh my God, that's
Can
so
you
sad.
Imagine? Like what kind of fucking hotels are not preventing that, you know?
Not this one.
Not anymore. They don't do it anymore. But back then they were just like, oh, well, yeah, that toddler probably will take care of himself. No big deal.
Oh my God.
I know. It's just tragic. Like in how long that had to happen before they like, created regulations about like tall buildings and their
That's
windows.
Insane.
I know. It's nuts.
So Grace fell out of the window from the 9th floor.
Damn. No surviving that.
No. And so she actually, oh my God. And this, it's even more fucked. So she actually fell into telephone wires
and
got tangled. They got tangled around her body and then they rushed her to a nearby hospital because she actually like was still alive.
Oh my God.
And then she
God.
Passed away. So like it somehow got worse.
I feel like that would like, cut through you or at least like definitely severely injure you internally.
Yes. And that's probably why she passed. But like, it's just fucked. Right. This hotel, I'm telling you, like, it doesn't even seem like it's just cursed.
Yeah.
So May of 1939, Erwin Neblett died at 39.
Okay.
He was an officer in the Navy and his body was found lifeless. Jeez. He had ingested poison as well.
Oh my God. And these are all so like close together.
I know. This is, we're still in the 30s.
Yeah, exactly.
It just seemed like it almost became like the hotel of like, that's where you went.
Yeah, like the Japanese suicide forest or whatever.
Oh my God, that that is fucked too. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We'll do that one someday. I have been a customer at 5CBD for a few years now, and I love their stuff. They offer a range of different full-spectrum CBD products, including gummies, chocolates, oils, and most recently, seltzer drinks. My favorite are the sour gummies and the toffee crunch milk chocolate. So I'm a casual snacker when it comes to CBD products. I don't eat them often, just occasionally, but I prefer CBD to alcohol because alcohol tends to trigger migraines for me. So when I want to relax or wind down after a particularly stressful day, I go for CBD instead. I like the relaxing feeling it brings me, but I also like that I can stay clear-headed. 5CBD has been my go-to brand for quite a while because in my personal experience, I've found it to be one of the highest quality products on the market. I love the variety that they offer, and most of all, I love that their products tend to last a very long time when I buy them, since I slowly chip away at them rather than gobbling them up right away. In addition to a wide selection, they also offer bundles so you can try a few different snacks and discover your favorite. They provide the option of a one-time purchase or monthly subscription services at a discount. Visit sinisterjunkmailpodcast.com/5CBD. That's FIVECBD to try the most delicious full-spectrum CBD products for yourself.
So January of 1940, Dorothy Seeger decided to stay at the Cecil Hotel.
Great.
Great.
This is going to end well, I can tell.
Yeah.
She only, let me guess. She had a really nice time and checked out and went home to her family.
She did.
Great.
And in 1940, no, I'm just kidding. Moving on. So she booked her room under the name of Evelyn Brent.
Okay.
She was a teacher. Dorothy sent her relatives a suicide note tipping them off that she was going to end her life.
That's sad.
It's super sad.
Yeah.
And then she ingested poison on January 10th, 1940.
Jeez.
And her body was found and taken to a nearby hospital because they were obviously trying to keep her alive. Right. But she died January 12th at the age of 45.
Where were these people just getting poison?
I don't
know. Like, where
know.
Do you just go? Can I buy some poison, please? One, I'll take one poison, please, sir. Like,
I don't know.
I mean, what, cyanide? Like, I don't know.
It seems like it's fucking accessible. I mean, now I guess maybe you just eat a Tide Pod and call it a day. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I know you can get like rat poison and shit, but.
But these are like capsules. Like, I don't understand.
It's weird.
The fucking 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get this straight. Like, during this time, wasn't that Prohibition? Or am I getting that wrong?
1920 to 1933. So it was like shortly before this.
So let me get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
It was harder to get your hands on alcohol than it was poison caplets. Capsules.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
All right. Well, our country doing our country things.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. All right. So we're moving on to September 1944.
Okay.
So Dorothy Jean Purcell was staying in a room at the Cecil Hotel with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Her boyfriend's name was Ben Levine, and he was 38 years old.
Okay.
He was a shoe salesman.
Oh.
Why was that important? I don't know, but I included it.
We know, though. We know the detail.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the detail than no detail.
Good.
Yeah. Right now, I'm thinking about those 24 states we'll never know.
Oh, my God. What a woman. She just won't drop shit.
Never. Never.
It's fine. My husband has three of us at home.
Yeah.
And I sometimes look at him randomly when I realize we're all nagging him. Yeah. And I just look at him. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Sorry.
Because we all like, and you can tell he just looks so defeated.
Yeah. It's rough for the husbands who have a house full of women, but it's also fantastic. You guys are so lucky.
You're so lucky to have all of us.
Yeah.
So Dorothy was 19 at the time, and she claimed that she was not aware she was pregnant.
Oh, no. I already hate this.
It's a fuck story.
Yeah.
So she started experiencing horrible pain. And so she got up from the bed, from her bed she was sharing with her boyfriend at the Cecil Hotel. She went into the bathroom and she was actually in labor and gave birth.
Holy shit.
I know. So she actually gave birth to a baby boy.
These stories always shock me when like women have, because I know it happens. I know they have, they give birth and they're like, I didn't know I was pregnant. And I know that sometimes, you know, teenagers just say that
right
to get out of trouble. But I do know that it actually does happen to women too. I can't even imagine.
I can't, because
I know immediately when I'm pregnant.
I know within the first like 2 weeks, yes. I can feel it. And every time I've gotten pregnant 3 times mm-hmm. and all 3 times I took a test, like I knew I was pregnant before I took that
exactly.
test.
Exactly. That's why you took the test. And it wasn't like, maybe I am. I hope I am. It's like, no, something's off. I'm pregnant. I know. Yeah.
And it was even, it was like way too early to tell mm-hmm. because so like when I hear these stories and I know it happens, so I'm not like shaming anybody, but it blows my fucking mind that like maybe my body is just really sensitive. It's I don't know.
I know that some people have like the placement of their uterus has something to do with it. If it's like further back instead of like up front, right against their abdomen. Like maybe that, you know, they don't feel as much, but mine never fucking stopped moving. I could see my stomach moving. Oh, yeah. How do you not know?
I have no idea because maybe my kids are just really hyper because their mother is hyper. Maybe. But like, I could watch my belly just like roll. Yes.
I have a family friend who didn't know she was pregnant until she was 5 months pregnant.
No fucking way.
And it was because she felt the baby move and she was like, what the fuck is that? And she had no other symptoms. She continued to have her period and she was like, she was active. She was fit. She was in shape. Yeah. So it wasn't like it was just lost in air, but she had no idea.
That's crazy.
I know. Anyways.
We digress.
She didn't just have a miscarriage in the bathroom. She was fully pregnant and had a baby.
Full on baby boy. So
tell me he survived.
He did it first.
Oh, no.
And then she claimed that she thought the baby was dead.
Ugh.
But for sure, she's lying. So she took the baby and threw it out the window.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
She's,
if you thought it was dead.
Because clearly she's fucking lying and she's pissed me the fuck off.
Yeah, because clearly that's not what you do. That's what you do when you're trying to hide evidence.
Yes. And he landed on the roof of a nearby building.
Christ, that's so just so upsetting. Oh, I know. My God, that poor innocent child did not deserve that.
No. And the baby was the body was actually found. And they did an autopsy and found that the baby was still alive at the time she threw it out.
Of course it was.
Yeah.
Hopefully the person's soul that belonged to that baby was not in there when that was happening.
I don't think so.
I'm going to believe that.
I'm going to believe it.
To believe that it was not, because that's just fucking vicious. That's awful.
I would like to believe
she should have left that baby for the maid and called the maid and then threw her fucking self out the window.
Well, we can just saying, let her know.
If you're willing to do that to a little innocent baby, just fucking go. Just get out of here. Yeah. Eject yourself into the sun. We don't need
you. Eject yourself into the sun. Well, the good news is, well, maybe not that great, but she was charged with murder.
Good.
But 3 different psychiatrists testified that she was confused at the time of the incident. So she was found not guilty by insanity.
Okay. Well,
so I guess it wasn't really that good news. I misled you guys.
Well, I was excited about the arrest. I'm sorry. Even if you do think that your baby might be dead.
That's not how you fucking handle it.
No, you fucking go, hey, excuse me, hotel staff, please call an ambulance and something to or somebody to come take a look at my possibly deceased child. Like, no, you don't fucking throw it out the window. What are you doing? Well, confused about what?
Yeah, no, I think she wasn't confused.
No,
but
she wasn't.
Here we are.
Yeah, well, all right.
So back to other.
Sorry, that just pissed me off.
No way.
Yeah.
So back to more uplifting stuff.
More uplifting suicides and murders.
Yeah. So November of 1947, Robert Smith jumped from the window on the 7th floor to his death, and he died at the age of 35.
Great. So I guess these people's preference is poison and jumping out windows. Yeah.
So on October 22nd, 1954, Helen Gurney jumped from a window on the 7th floor and landed on top of the Cecil Hotel's marquee.
God.
So she died at the age of 55, and she had been staying there for about a week under the name Margaret Brown, which makes me think she was probably staying there for a week because she was going back and forth.
Yeah.
And
trying
then
to decide.
Yep.
Imagine being the person just walking down that street and then watching a body land on top of the marquee.
Imagine being these employees.
Mm. I'm sure they have a very high turnover rate.
There's no fucking way. I find one dead body.
Bye.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, this is too much. It's not worth the pay.
Yeah, no.
And it's not even that I find it, like, creepy. It's just so sad. And I don't, that's not what I want every day.
It sticks with you the rest of your life.
Right.
There's no way to escape that.
No. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't even like going to funerals, honestly. Yeah, it's like, I don't like seeing the dead body. And again, it's not because I'm being a bitch. It's just is sad.
The person's not in there anymore.
No. And it's weird.
I don't like it either. It makes me feel like not good.
No.
Because they're not there. You know, it's like you're looking at an empty vessel.
Yeah.
And it's very, I know that some people do that to pay their respects, and I totally get that.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone deserves the right to grieve the way they
do whatever makes you happy.
Of course. But, yeah. I want nothing to do with that when I pass away.
No.
Just torch me.
That's what I want. Yeah. I want my organs donated and then just torch me.
Yeah. For sure.
And then, I've gone back and forth, like just like put my ashes like in the ocean, call it a day. Mm-hmm. Or if my husband is still alive, I want my ashes to like sit right next to the TV where I'm staring at him at all times.
That's perfect.
And then if he tries to date after.
Yeah.
Every time he like looks up, like he's like kissing her and he looks up and he just sees my dead like ashes just like.
If you die tragically young, you're like, I want you to have this right next to you at all times. And don't ever move on. Don't you dare. You grieve for me the rest of your life.
That's I want him to be unhappy and grieve for me for the rest of his life.
It's so funny.
So the Cecil Hotel became known for excessive drug activity that occurred there.
Shocking. Yeah.
It was just all the employees going, I can't fucking stand this.
I can't get through my day.
No.
Too many dead bodies.
It also became like super known for adulterous couples.
Shocking.
I know. They would stay there, and obviously it was to be a little bit discreet.
God, think about all the hepatitis C that just like traveled through that hotel.
That's so hot. And then also there was a lot of prostitutes there.
Yeah.
But it also became known for the amount of suicides that were committed there. Yeah. And they started actually calling the hotel the Suicide instead of the Cecil Hotel. The
Suicide Hotel.
Yeah.
Great.
So on February 11th, 1962, Julia Frances Moore jumped out of her window on the 8th floor. She didn't leave a suicide note, and she died at the age of 50.
God.
The only thing she left in her room was 59 cents and an Illinois bank book that showed a balance of like $1,800.
Jesus. What are these people's stories? I
imagine
they have like some crazy, like hidden secret that they just can't live with.
Maybe.
I don't know. That's where my mind goes.
That's the way you wrote this.
Yeah.
So on October 12th, 1962, Pauline Otten got into a big argument with her husband. He left the room and Pauline decided to jump from the window of the 9th floor.
I'm good. That'll show him.
Right.
Sorry.
How did that get me? Unfortunately, she fucked up.
Oh, no.
When she jumped, she actually landed on a random pedestrian, killing him instantly.
Did he kill her too?
Yes. Oh. So like, it's super sad because obviously like this dude was just like, walking and having like a normal day.
Yeah.
So his name was George Giannini. You know what? We're going to call him just George.
Okay. Just George.
Initially, investigators thought that like two people had jumped because it looked like a couple.
Oh, God.
But then once they started investigating, they realized that George, his hands were in his pockets and his shoes were still on. And
definitely don't jump like that.
No. And if he had jumped from the 9th floor, apparently from impact, his shoes would have flown off and obviously his hands wouldn't be in his freaking pockets.
Right.
So it's just sad.
Oh, that is sad.
Like, fuck this hotel.
Yeah.
And somehow it gets more weird.
Right.
On June 4th, 1964, a hotel worker discovered the body of Pigeon Goldie Osgood.
Pigeon.
Yes.
That was her name?
It was a nickname. So she was a retired telephone operator.
Okay.
Osgood was nicknamed Pigeon because she frequently fed the birds in a nearby park.
I'm picturing the lady from Home Alone too.
Me too. As soon as I read this,
I love it.
That's all I kept seeing was just like the woman throwing out birdseed.
Oh, that's so funny.
So her body was found with just a Dodgers hat on and a sack of birdseed.
Oh.
So she had been beaten, raped, and stabbed to death.
Oh, no.
It's terrible. So her room was actually torn apart as well, which was also weird.
Yeah.
They arrested someone for her murder. It was Jacques Ellinger.
I just love that every time you say a name or anything that you don't fully know, it's about an octave higher.
Is it really?
And it's very quiet.
Jacques.
And then you wait to see if someone's going to correct you.
Like, is it fucked?
Is it fucked? It's great. It's just
terrific. So, they charged him for murder because they saw him walking around in blood-stained clothes.
Okay.
And it was he was walking around the same park that she frequently fed the pigeons in.
What a creep.
Right. They charged him for the murder, but then later would clear him. But I don't know why they cleared him, what happened.
Yeah.
But I also find it strangely suspicious that he's walking around covered in fucking blood doing the same thing that she was doing.
Right.
Which makes me think either he was walking away from the crime scene or it was so fresh for him that he was just kind of like retracing the steps of like just to feel that feeling again.
Right.
I don't know. Either way, I think he did it.
He probably did. Or they found out, they cleared him because they found out it was the two guys, the sticky bandits from Home Alone.
No, it probably was.
I'm just kidding.
The sticky bandits.
Oh, wait, the wet bandits? I think they changed it in the first one as the wet bandits.
Is it
really? Because he was like, I'm going to leave the sink on. That's our calling card. So when they come home, it's just filled with water. I'm sorry. This is not funny. I'm sorry.
Fuck that movie.
Yeah.
On December 20th. So on December 20th, 1975, an unidentified woman jumped from her 12th floor window.
God.
They estimated her age to be around 23. She had checked into the hotel on December 16th. And again, she registered her, like, an alias, under an alias. So she registered under Allison Lowell.
Okay.
But once she died, investigators couldn't figure out who the fuck she was.
Right. So weird.
It's super weird.
All these people jumping to their death. Can you imagine doing that? Like, I could never. Not because I'm like, not depressed, wouldn't be depressed, but because like I would be too scared.
That's scary ass way to go.
Yeah.
So Richard Ramirez.
Dun, dun, dun. Here we are.
Yes. He temporarily resided at this hotel in the 1980s.
Hmm.
If you're wondering who this fucker is.
Mm-hmm.
He was a serial killer and a sex offender in the Los Angeles area.
He was terrible. Disgusting.
Also, there is another documentary on him, which was that one fucking blew my mind.
Yeah.
Because he was so fucked up.
Yeah.
And it was like actually like turning my stomach a little.
Is he the one they called the Night Stalker? Was that somebody else? Yeah, the Night Stalker. Yeah. He was very fucking gross.
He was really gross. And what's even, this is just a fun fact, is like his victims, when they're being interviewed and like trying to figure out like, okay, what do you remember of him? They always said he was like the, even if they couldn't like remember his face or whatever, he just smelled terrible.
Oh, God.
He had just like terrible fucking BO. Yeah.
Gross.
And that was like always like everyone's go-to was like, especially like some of his victims that he just sexually abused.
Right.
It was just like an overwhelming, body odor.
It's disgusting.
So like, yeah, fucking nasty ass.
He was very fucked up for sure.
Super fucked. He also later moved to San Francisco Bay Area and did more fucked up shit.
Yeah.
So Ramirez was actually living at the top floor of the Cecil Hotel and he was renting a room for $14 a night in the 80s, which still seems really fucking cheap.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that's why I think once they started lowering the prices and just kind of started like just trying to get money where they could. I honestly think that they started bringing in like, just crazy, right?
Totally.
Like, so Ramirez would go commit his brutal murders.
Mm-hmm.
He would strip off his bloodstained clothes in the alley of the Cecil Hotel.
Right.
And then he would climb the interior stairs in just his bloodstained underwear.
Oh my God.
The front desk staff claimed to have had conversations with the serial killer while he stayed there.
Yuck.
And Ramirez used a variety of weapons to kill or torture his victims.
God.
And we won't go into it too much, but just like the Cliff Notes version of this dude, he would use a claw hammer. He's used a machete, a tire iron, knives, handguns. He stomped one of his victims to death.
So he's just an opportunist. He'll grab whatever is available. Yeah.
Well, and the victim that he stomped to death, it was in their sleep.
Oh, God.
It's like, it really is. It's not even like, okay, I got into a fight and I went too far. Like, no, you're going out of your fucking way to just take someone's life. Yeah, because
he would just creep in. He would just try doors and just go, whatever was unlocked.
I watched this documentary.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, I triple check everything. Yeah,
of course.
Because all he did was if something was locked, he would move on to the next.
Yep.
If it was locked, moved on to the next. And then if he just happened to come across an unlocked door, they You're were fucked. His victims.
That's exactly right. And I will never leave my door unlocked. And I'm sure that there are not a lot of Richard Ramirez's around here, but you never fucking know.
No.
You never know.
No. And I don't want to find out. Mm-mm. So I'm good.
I don't want to be the person that is the unfortunate one who left their door unlocked. That's for sure.
No. If he decided not to kill his victim, he would just torture and humiliate them instead.
God, what a freak.
Yes. And so with one of his victims, he decided to torture and not kill. So Ramirez used a live electrical cord to torture her.
Oh, God.
And then he would also punch, strangle, rape, and pistol whip his victims.
Great.
So he's just fucking ball of ass wipes.
God.
He's disgusting.
I hope that he is just reformed. Send back to source. Send him back.
Yeah. There's no changing him.
He doesn't deserve
him.
To come back here. No. Like, at all. No.
So eventually Ramirez, thank God, would be arrested and mm-hmm. convicted in 1989 of 13 counts of murder, 5 attempted murders, 11 sexual assaults, and 14 burglaries.
God, he's a monster.
So moving on. Mm-hmm. So that's serial killer number one that stayed at the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah, great.
Here's the second one. Ugh. His name is Jack Unterweger.
Perfect.
I don't know why.
Even if that's wrong, who fucking cares?
Fuck him.
He's not the type we give a shit about pronouncing his name correctly.
I don't really care. Mm-mm. So he stayed at the Cecil Hotel in 1991.
Okay.
I was just a baby.
Aw, you're so tiny.
He's so tiny. So he was an Austrian serial killer that had committed murders in the United States, Czechoslovakia, and Germany.
Excellent.
Yeah. He's just,
real world traveler.
Yeah. Thanks, guy. So he actually was convicted of murder in 1974. Are you ready to hear how the system is fucked apparently everywhere?
Yeah, because he was stayed in 1991. Is that what
you
said? Great.
Yeah. So while in prison, Jack focused on writing.
Okay.
Yeah. He actually got noticed for his writing ability by the Austrian literary elite.
Oh, great.
Which sounds very pinkies up, doesn't it?
Yeah. Also, no serial killer should qualify to participate in these things.
You would think.
Right.
But it gets better.
Great.
So everyone took his ability to write and that he was putting so much passion and thought into this as, well,
he's rehabilitated.
He's rehabilitated. Great. No, you fucking idiots. That doesn't mean anything. No. It just means he's bored.
Yeah.
And he's getting attention.
Yep.
If he can't get attention from killing,
right,
might as well write.
Yeah.
So Jack was released from prison in 1990. Mm. So just so we're clear, he got released in 1990 and then...
a year later.
He essentially just couldn't help himself.
No, they never can.
No. So he was released and he gained a bit of fame from writing. He was actually pretty decent, I guess. And he began working towards becoming a journalist and a playwright.
Mm.
So everything seemed promising, except the fact that he just resumed killing women again.
Right.
That was, you just can't stay away. So Jack decided to stay at the Cecil Hotel in 1991.
Good.
Where he strangled and killed at least 3 prostitutes.
Jesus.
And obviously there might be more.
He looks like such a douche too.
Oh my God.
I was just looking at pictures of him.
Yeah. He's on our poster or one of our posters.
Oh good.
But yeah, so they think it's just 3 prostitutes, but it's one of those this is also hard to completely figure out because sometimes with prostitutes, they can't
Right.
They might not have someone going, hey, she's missing.
Yeah,
something's
they call
wrong.
Them the less dead or something because no one's. That's literally
that's
how.
So
I mean, they don't police don't call them that, but that's how it's been referred to because no one's looking for them. It is really fucking sad.
And I feel there's so many serial killers, too, that focus on prostitutes, at least at first.
Because no one's looking for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the easiest to get away with. It's fucked.
It's super fucked.
Yep.
But investigators actually think that he might have stayed at the Cecil Hotel because he was going with the purpose of to mimic Ramirez.
Gross.
So he was going to stay there and just get busy with it. And
so he was a piece of shit and also unoriginal.
Yes. He's just fucked.
Cool.
But you know what? Thank you, the writing elite. You're right. He really changed.
Yeah. He was so good.
He did great things.
God.
So on September 1st, 1992, a body was found in an alley behind the Cecil Hotel and the investigators couldn't figure out who it was.
Weird.
Just a random body. And they figured out he had either jumped out of the window on the 14th floor or had been pushed out.
Yikes.
They don't know. And obviously and no one's coming. No one's coming down to the front. I pushed a man out of a window.
Yeah.
But the man was said to be between the ages of 20 and 30.
Ugh, yikes.
Yeah. And in 2013, the Cecil Hotel tried rebranding the hotel.
Oh, good.
Ta-da!
Yeah, we don't have a like weird sordid history or anything.
Right. And this is when they started calling it the Stay on Main, which we talked about in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But not long after they did this is when the Elisa story came out.
Yeah. They can't escape it.
No. And so like they're like, please let positive things happen. And the negative just overtook it.
There's probably so much bad energy in this one place from all this. There's no way. There's no way out of it. You know?
So on June 13th, 2015, a man's body was found outside of the Cecil Hotel. God. And this individual seemed to be 28 years old, but they also couldn't identify the person.
Jeez.
Some thought he might have just jumped out of a window. But again, it was just like one of those, like, they can't tell if it was a murder or a suicide.
Right.
Okay, so I found this story when I was just looking up. So I went on Reddit and I wanted to like find someone's like personal experience on Cecil Hotel.
Great.
And I found this.
Oh, good.
And I think it just kind of paints a good picture of just like what I imagine it being like, just a normal person staying there because of just wanting to experience
curiosity.
It. Yeah.
Great.
So Catherine, please do us the honors.
I shall. This is posted by Reddit user Vickle, V-K-L-E. I don't know. No vowels. 8 years ago. And the title is, so I stayed at a Stay on Main, aka Cecil Hotel, and it was terrifying. And the story says, as the title suggests, I recently stayed at the Cecil Hotel, or Stay on Main, as it's now called. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, the Cecil Hotel is known for some weird shit. Famous serial killer Richard Ramirez stayed there, and it's where Elisa Lam died mysteriously in the water tank. The Black Dahlia was also last known to be staying there. I didn't know that. That's interesting. You know that story, the Black Dahlia?
I do not.
Ooh, we'll put that on our list.
Is it good?
It's fucked, yes.
Okay.
I mean, not good. It's terrible, but it's interesting.
I guess I should have phrased that better.
I knew what you meant. So yeah, I was definitely excited to check it out. The horror junkie I am. All right, pause. I love horror and true crime and all that. I would never want to stay at a place like this.
So there's a difference between, to me, and then we said this in the beginning, mm-hmm. there's a difference between staying at a haunted hotel or staying at a place that I might haunt later because I got murdered in my sleep.
And because there's still like active crime going on in and around it all the time.
It's different feeling like someone caress like my arm versus a man caressing my arm because he broke into my hotel room and he's trying to kill me.
And by caress, you mean grab violently.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So now it says, now as a disclaimer, I don't or didn't believe in the paranormal. I don't know what to think at this point. All I know is my stay there was weird and I have no explanation. First off, the staff was great. Nothing weird there. They were super helpful and didn't make me feel like a complete idiot for being confused by the big bad LA, being from a small town in Minnesota.
You said that wrong. Minnesota.
The cleaning crews kept to themselves, but I wasn't entirely sure how much English they spoke. So I brushed that off. Why would they talk to you anyway? Like not once have I ever been like, hey, cleaning crew, you want to hang out?
So the person that wrote this was really fucking annoying, but the story is actually good. I just wish they just
that part.
They gave us all this shut the
gold
fuck up
in the beginning. Yeah.
And then I turned the corner and I saw someone ordered room service, but their coffee was only halfway drank. Like no one cares.
Shut up and get to the point. Okay. So they say the first happening took place in my room. It was around 11 p.m. and I was laying on the bed watching TV. I heard something making a thumping noise in the bathroom. So I went in. I didn't hear a thing for about 2 minutes and then I heard a creak and another thump. It was clear it was coming from the pipes on the bathroom sink. I turned the faucet on to make sure it was working and nothing came out. Gross. Stop. Gross. That's when I went to call the front desk. Front desk, the groggy sounding attendant said.
Hi, I'm in room 309 in my bathroom faucet.
That's as far as I got before I heard another thump and the sound of the water flowing.
Never mind. Seems to be working fine now. Sorry to be a bother.
Who says sorry to be a bother?
This moron, I don't know.
This is not a good Minnesota accent I'm doing.
That was a Minnesota accent?
No, I wasn't trying. That's what I'm saying. I wish I would have done a Minnesota accent.
Oh my God.
I didn't even try.
I thought you meant you were doing it. I was like, no fucking way, dude.
I misspoke. I'm just doing high-pitch annoying woman accent.
So she's imitating me.
No, you sound much nicer than this.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. Sorry to be a bother. No, that was too Canadian. God, forget it. I can't do Minnesota. He told me to call if I needed anything and wished me a nice rest of my stay. I headed to the bathroom to turn the faucet off, and the water was a sickly brown, almost gray color.
Ew. Hot.
I turned it off and back on, and the color was fine. Okay, gross. But I took a mental note not to drink the water. Yeah. Not wanting to bother the attendant again over a faucet I didn't even need at the moment, I headed to bed. I fell asleep quickly and woke up at exactly 1:38 a.m. to knocking on my door. Nope, get out of here. I looked through the people and saw a middle-aged man nervously looking down. Oh, yuck. Now, I'm a pretty small 21-year-old female, but this guy really looked harmless. I answered my door.
Also,
get the fuck out of here.
I know.
What are you doing, you dumb idiot?
We are both small females.
Yeah.
I would never in a fucking million years open that door.
It could have been a child knocking on my door at 1:38 a.m. Fuck no.
Nope.
Sorry. Not this
Bye.
Room. I wouldn't be in there in the first place. This girl's an idiot.
No.
Okay, so she answered her door. Can I help you? Sorry. She sounds stupid in my brain. I need help, he replied almost instantly. Are you hurt? Can I call someone? After that, he stared at me for what felt like an hour. It was probably around a minute and a half before he grabbed my arm and pulled me into the hallway while he slipped into my room. Why would she keep leaving the door open?
I don't know.
She's making every wrong choice you can make.
Yeah.
It being 1 a.m., I had nothing on me. Now, I was certainly wondering what the hell this guy's problem was, but I prepared myself for all kinds of weirdos and assholes before making this trip. So yep. I walked downstairs to the lobby and told the front desk what happened. The man apologized profusely, saying something about all the characters he had to deal with. He called someone from security and up to my room we went. He opened the door, no problem. I was worried this nut would have barricaded the door somehow, and it appeared no one was there until one of the guards went into the bathroom. There, this guy had cut his wrists and was holding them under the sink, repeating something about cleansing himself and this hotel. What the fuck? I could tell he had lost a fair amount of blood, so how he managed to take a swing at me and the security guard with his razor was beyond me. But he did, and though he missed the guard, he grazed my forearm and drew some blood. 911 was called immediately, and he was taken to the hospital. I was asked if I wanted to press charges, and I was offered a different room or a full refund. They also gave me some sweet gift cards and coupons. Great. That makes up for
it. Sorry for your assault.
Yeah, here's a 10% off Denny's.
Yeah, I do love some Denny's, though.
I stayed. Like I said, I knew LA would be a wacky experience, and I hadn't been hurt. Okay, but you just said you were. And I really thought that would be the end of the madness, but I was wrong. That's it?
Yeah.
That's the end of the story?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's the rest of the madness?
I don't know.
We'll never know.
This Vocal. Bitch just like, and then I think she was like, in the one of the comments, she was like, all right, well, just let me know if you want me to tell you the rest. Are you fucking with us?
Why would you even bother? Part of me feels like she's just like, please ask me questions.
Yes.
I have so much to say.
But also...
And also she said she wasn't hurt, but they drew blood with the razor on her forearm.
Right.
I guess not seriously hurt.
I don't know. But no matter what, like, ew.
She definitely has some sort of disease now.
Yeah, 100%. There's no coming back from that.
Ew. I would be so creeped out, but first of all, never would I stay in a hotel like that by myself.
No.
Even at my dumbest early 20s, never.
I wouldn't even stay there with my husband.
No.
I wouldn't, like, no, I'm good.
And like, LA is not that wacky. It was going to be wacky in Minnesota, but like, yeah, it's only wacky if you fucking go to a like terrible idea of a place to stay. Like,
right.
What are you doing, lady?
I don't know. So now to wrap this up.
Yeah.
I also found this article and it was a guy named Pete Matzingo.
Okay.
He lived across the street from the Cecil Hotel for 5 years, like in a separate building.
Yeah.
He just could see it perfectly.
Okay.
And he could see the hotel from his bedroom window.
Mm. What a view.
And he said while the hotel was actually shut down, like during the renovation time, he would see shadows and he saw what looked like a guy hanging behind a curtain one time.
Ooh.
And another time he saw a man around 3 a.m. smoking a cigar on the balcony.
Weird.
And he was just staring at him.
I wonder if people would like sneak in.
Well, he would also see curtains moving, windows opening by themselves and lights flickering.
Okay.
So he also said like a lot of the people he would see they would come and then they would just disappear, like without like actual movement.
Weird.
So, one, I think that this hotel at this point has so much negative energy that I think it's just drawing shit in.
Yeah. Or stuff like spirits of others who have already died there or something.
Right.
Left, like hanging out, behind, come back to visit. I don't know.
Well, and I think that like once negative energy or negative spirits are there, mm-hmm. they're going to continue to feed off of more negativity, pulling right. people in.
Yeah.
Or if you look at all the suicides too,
mm-hmm.
think about if someone's like thinking about ending their life and they're like going back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that they could easily like push them one like way or the other.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or because egging them on.
They're feeding off of right. the depression and sadness.
Of
and
course.
I don't know. I have a hard time believing this is all coincidental. Like,
I don't think so. I mean, I think from the very beginning when shit took a turn, it's like all of this negative energy starts building up and accumulating. It's just weird, you know?
It's super fucked.
Yeah.
It's a portal.
It is.
To hell.
It's a portal to something.
Yeah.
I definitely think that that's probably true. It sounds like a lot of very bad shit has happened here.
Yes. And mm-hmm. it like, again, it goes from anywhere. It's like people getting murdered. There's mm-hmm. been a fuck ton of suicides.
Yeah.
Serial killers finding yeah. like that was their place to get a good night's rest after right. some like serious murders.
They like, probably felt like comfortable there.
Yes.
Amongst their dark energy.
I think so, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I find it extremely weird.
It is very weird. I wonder, and what is it now? Is it a stay on Main now, or is it the low income housing now?
It's the low income housing okay. now, which okay. is good
yeah.
because I think that at least maybe it'll help Skid Row. It'll because it's being run by like
yeah.
the
their association.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right.
So maybe it'll turn around.
Hopefully. God, or just everyone living there is going to be haunted as fuck now. One or the other.
One or the other.
That was some fantastic content you brought us this week.
It was.
Very creepy. And
very enlightening. It's very lighthearted.
Yeah, super uplifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for next week's episode, mm-hmm. we are bringing back the ghost stories.
Yeah. Personal stories.
Yeah.
Which means send them in to us if you want.
Yes, please.
To be included. We love them.
Yeah. We love them. And we would really like you guys to send them in because mm-hmm. I think it would be fun.
We love being able to shout out to our listeners and stuff. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you want to share your ghost stories mm-hmm. with us or even just email us with whatever, whether it's just a funny story or just a weird experience.
Alien abduction.
Yeah. Or
past life regression.
Or I've heard like people that have like, you know, like the people that have almost like they had an encounter with a serial killer, but like they had a bad feeling. Like
I escaped type stories.
Yes. Please send those.
Those
then.
Are great too.
I know.
Yeah.
But any story really, mm-hmm. Email us at sinisterjunkmailpodcast@gmail.com.
Do it. Or find us on Instagram or Facebook at sinisterjunkmailpodcast. You can also DM us or leave a comment under any of our photos if you'd like to get in touch with us that way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, happy new year. That's about to be in a couple of days. Probably.
Happy new year.
Yeah. And we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.